Being not guilty in God's eyes doesn't come from being sinless. Being not guilty in God's eyes comes from being washed by the blood of Jesus.
Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
HIP is simply a phrase, that an acronym for happy imperfect people. And I just think that so many Christians are trying, they're basing their happiness on getting it all together and having it all together. And you can't, if we wait for that, we're never going to be happy. Right. So the concept of happy and perfect people is, that's the culture that I think is God's, the culture that God is wants in the earth. We need to be able to embrace our weaknesses without settling for our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really what we're talking about. That's being good. Happy in the present moment, being finding that place of happiness. You know, the Bible says, happy is the man that does not condemn himself. Mm. He's not saying happy is the one who God doesn't condemn, because God already removed all the condemnation from our lives by sending Jesus to die for our sins, and there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But it's us who condemn ourselves that make us unhappy. But happy is the one who does not condemn himself. So I think the real goal to me in my life, what I'm trying to live out and what I want to model and what I want to encourage all of us to live by, is finding that place where you can be happy, not because you have it all together, you got it all done, you figured it all out, but because you accept yourself. Yeah. And you don't condemn yourself. You accept yourself because God accepts you. And you don't beat yourself up. You don't apologize for everything everything you can ever think of, you ever did or thought of. It's not a life of apology. That's there's no joy in where your life, you're just apologizing. You're just feeling bad about everything you do. You just always feel like you're in the way, you're causing somebody else's unhappiness. Like, nobody causes anybody's unhappiness. Everybody's unhappiness is caused by their own agreements on the inside of them. You know, what's going on inside of you. When the Bible talks about let there be no strife, you know, we had this saying, as you know, with you guys when you were younger. So we let everybody in on that one. But no strife for life was our, you know, little phrase and motto with, when you kids were growing up. Where strife comes from between people, it only originates in yourself. Like, when you have this inner debate in your own mind. God loves me, but I'm not sure. Is God mad at me? But, you know, maybe he's not, maybe he is. Like, you're having an inner debate, and that's where strife is really an inner debate. And the only reason, and the Bible talks about how a double-minded man is unstable, right? Yeah. So when you're not sure that God loves you, when you're not sure that God accepts you, when you're not sure of who you are in Christ, you create this fight inside of your head, which causes you to have internal strife, and then works its way out in your relationships. The reason people have strife in their relationships is because inside of themselves they're not content. And that's really the goal. The goal in life should be, obviously our goal is to win the world to Jesus, but in our personal individual lives, there needs to be this personal inner contentment. And to learn how to be content, it doesn't mean we're settling for where we're at in life. It means we're content with where we're at in life, not settling, but because you have to be content at every stage in life. What stage will you ever be happy in if you're not happy in the current state? What do we talk about, that contentment is not a state of, it's a state of mind, not a state of affairs. And you know, a state of affairs is how are the things in my life going? That should determine, most people, as long as everything in my life is going good, that determines my contentment. But contentment is a state of mind, not a state of affairs. Like, you have to carry contentment with you wherever you go. Like, you have to be at peace with who you are and where you're at in life. It doesn't mean you're settling. It just means you're at peace with God. You're at peace with yourself. And that's what causes you to be at peace with each other, with other people. is it starts from within. So many Christians are trying, they're basing their happiness on getting it all together and having it all together. And you can't, if we wait for that, we're never going to be happy. Right. So the concept of happy and perfect people is that's the culture that I think is God's, the culture that God is wants in the earth. We need to be able to embrace our weaknesses without settling for our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really what we're talking about. That's being good. Happy in the present moment, being finding that place of happiness. You know, the Bible says, happy is the man that does not condemn himself. Mm. He's not saying happy is the one who God doesn't condemn, because God already removed all the condemnation from our lives by sending Jesus to die for our sins, and there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But it's us who condemn ourselves that make us unhappy. But happy is the one who does not condemn himself. So I think the real goal to me in my life, what I'm trying to live out and what I want to model and what I want to encourage all of us to live by, is finding that place where you can be happy, not because you have it all together, you got it all done, you figured it all out, but because you accept yourself. Yeah. And you don't condemn yourself. You accept yourself because God accepts you. There needs to be this personal inner contentment. And to learn how to be content, it doesn't mean we're settling for where we're at in life. It means we're content with where we're at in life, not settling, but because you have to be content at every stage in life. What stage will you ever be happy in if you're not happy in the current state? What do we talk about, that contentment is not a state of, it's a state of mind, not a state of affairs. Yeah. And really cool. You know, a state of affairs is how are the things in my life going? That should determine, most people, as long as everything in my life is going good, that determines my contentment. But contentment is a state of mind, not a state of affairs. Like, you have to carry contentment with you wherever you go. Like, you have to be at peace with who you are and where you're at in life. It doesn't mean you're settling. It just means you're at peace with God. You're at peace with yourself. And that's what causes you to be at peace with each other, with other people, is it starts from within. So, you know, if you can just remember state of mind, not state of affairs, that's awesome. That's contentment. That's happiness. So happy imperfect people is all about not settling for our imperfections, but being happy in the midst of our imperfections. Yeah. And that can only come from knowing that God feels that way about us. He's not saying, hey, Joe, as soon as you get it together, I'm going to really be happy with you. Right. He's pleased with us now. He's happy that we just believe in him. Yeah. If we just trust him, that's where, what does the Bible say? It says, happy is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's where happiness comes from. It comes from trust, not from more money in my account, more popularity, more hits on Instagram, more whatever, yeah. more of anything. None of that is going to make anybody happy. People are going to be eternally seeking forever that place of contentment until you realize that God's good with you right now, so you be good with you right now. That's cool. And that will bring out the best in you, because you're living and playing from a mentality of acceptance.
That's it.
A mentality of approval, not I got to improve so I could be approved. Mm. No, you got to feel the approval, and that'll improve everything in your life.
That's good.
If you're sitting in a first class seat and the seat reclines all the way back, that's what Jesus is speaking of when he's reclining with his disciples. He's going to the cross and he's reclining. He's at peace. He's at rest. Like, what are you doing? What are we doing that's so hard that would prevent us from reclining with him when he was going to pay the price for all of mankind's sin? And yet he's reclining at the table with his disciples, and the Apostle John's like leaning, you know, in his chest, just like this, you know. I mean, that's literally what John was doing. Literally, the Bible says his head was in the bosom of Jesus. That's the picture that we should have of our relationship with God. That's what God wants for us. And what keeps us from enjoying the table and enjoying our seat with him is shame. As soon as we feel shame about something we've done, as soon as we feel shame about our past, whether it's our imperfections or a mistake we've made, a sin we've committed, something we've done, something we're thinking, some space we're in our minds, in our emotions, where we're not at our best, and that brings shame. And then we think that should keep us from the table. But that does not disqualify us from being at the table. God doesn't shame us. And he doesn't say, well, as soon as you stop doing that, then you can ditch that shame. You need to ditch the shame now. Like, Jesus paid for the shame. He took our shame. This is what so many Christians fail to understand, is that we don't have to do anything to get rid of this stuff. Jesus paid for it. We just have to accept we're forgiven, and we're free from shame, and we're free from guilt, and we're free from condemnation. Being not guilty in God's eyes doesn't come from being sinless. Being not guilty in God's eyes comes from being washed by the blood of Jesus. And that gives us the right to go to God anytime about anything. And he's like, I'm here. Yeah. He's like, welcome home. So welcome home. He's at the table. Yeah. You're at the table. Right. You never have to leave the table. We think we have to excuse ourselves and go to our room because that's how we grew up. Go to your room.
That's how we grew up.
You know? Yeah. Now, Joseph, come down when you've, you know, really got your heart right, when you really get a better attitude. Yeah. Like, parents bring shame to their children, unfortunately, because we're imperfect in how we raise our kids. But yet, God is the perfect father.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to put us in our room and put us in a corner to learn our lesson, to be shamed.
Wow.
So that then we can earn a place back at the table when we get our attitude right. God accepts us at the table with all of our funk, all of our junk in our trunk, all of our shenanigans, all of our immaturity, and all the places where we're at in our lives. He doesn't reject us from the table. He doesn't say, sorry, you got to go in the corner until you get it right, and then you can come back and you can earn your place. No, the place has already been earned by Jesus. Your seat has been earned by Jesus.